This is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. Italy's government has expanded travel restrictions to the entire country, locking down about 60 million people in an effort to contain the coronavirus. The move expands Italy's travel restrictions from the north of the country where the outbreak first took hold. Earlier Monday, the leader of the World Health Organization said that the deadly coronavirus has gained a foothold in so many countries that the threat of a pandemic has become very real. Egypt is taking steps to deal with coronavirus that include testing incoming visitors for the illness.
Egypt is testing tourists for the coronavirus at Cairo Airport after a number of foreign visitors came down with the disease and a German man died after visiting Luxor. The government has also closed schools and some universities to prevent the outbreak from worsening. Egyptian Health Minister Hala Zayed told journalists that those suspected of having the virus are being isolated and monitored by health professionals. She says that Egypt is isolating suspected cases and treating them for fever and other symptoms with antibiotics. She says there have only been 11 serious instances of the virus so far out of at least 55 reported cases. Edward Uranian for VOA News, Cairo.
New York Mayor Bill de Blasio talked to CNN Monday about how best to prevent the spread of coronavirus.
I think we should try to stick to normal as much as possible, get people to follow those common sense guidelines on how to handle this situation. Most simple things like if you're sick, don't go to work, don't send your kid to school, use hand sanitizer, do the elbow bump instead of the handshake. These are real simple things.
And WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus has also voiced optimism, saying it would be the first pandemic in history that could be controlled. He concluded the bottom line is that we are not at the mercy of the virus. This is VOA News. Stock markets plummeted across the world Monday, plunging on dual concerns over oil prices and the economic effects of the coronavirus that has spread to more than 100 countries. Key exchanges in New York fell more than 7% as trading opened for the week, and after recovering some losses, dipped again, still down more than 7% an hour before the close. Some Asian markets dropped 5%, while European markets closed down about 8%. A week after former Vice President Joe Biden once again became the frontrunner and edged out most of the remaining competition, the focus now in the presidential race is on the state of Michigan, which will hold election events Tuesday. As VOA's Jim Malone reports, the results for Michigan and five other states could decide what rival U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders does next.
Biden's success drove two other rivals from the race, former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg and Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. Sanders' best chance to regain momentum may come Tuesday in the Michigan primary, says Jim Kessler.
If Bernie doesn't score a big victory in Michigan, you're really starting to see the end of the possibility of his candidacy. And then I think there'll be some unifying then.
In addition to Michigan, Idaho, Mississippi, Missouri, and Washington State hold primaries on Tuesday, and North Dakota will hold a Democratic caucus. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
Afghanistan's president-elect Ashraf Ghani and his election rival runner-up Abdullah Abdullah took part in parallel swearing-in ceremonies on Monday, fueling political tensions and posing a fresh challenge to U.S.-led peace efforts. Both ceremonies were initially delayed, apparently to allow for hectic U.S. diplomacy to resolve the crisis. However, after several hours, the inaugurations began. Ghani was the first to take the oath in a ceremony shown live where, among other foreign guests, were U.S. Envoy Zalmay Khalilzad and U.S. Commander of International Forces Scott Miller. As Ghani wrapped up his speech, four rockets struck near the presidential palace. Abdullah also was sworn in a ceremony in his office, with both ceremonies broadcast live by all Afghan television stations, some showing the two on split screens. The trial of three Russians and a Ukrainian citizen over the July 2014 downing of Malaysia Airlines Flight 17 in separatist-controlled eastern Ukraine has opened in the Netherlands. The suspects are charged with the murders of 298 passengers and crew who were killed when Flight MH17, flying from Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur, was shot down. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News. We'll be right back.
Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Tuesday, March 10th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. The European Union outlines a new Africa strategy.
We have geopolitical interests in Africa. Our growth and security depends on what happens in Africa, maybe more than in any other part of the world.
Josep Borrell is the EU foreign policy chief. Somalia's foreign minister will discuss efforts to defuse tension between Somalia and Kenya. The African Leaders Malaria Alliance announces measures to curb malaria in the Horn of Africa region. And Malawi's main opposition party demands the unconditional release of leaders of the Human Rights Defenders Coalition.
We are condemning the arbitrary arrest, but also in the statement, Dr. Hassan Zagwera is saying that these HRDC leaders who have been arrested must be released within 48 hours from the time we release the statement.
Uganda parents urge the evacuation of their children from coronavirus epicenter, and the mayor of Lusaka urges residents to avoid the traditional handshake as a weapon against the spread of the coronavirus. Those stories and more are coming up on Daybreak Africa. The European Union on Monday outlined a new partnership with Africa that seeks to build a more equal relationship between the two sides. Lisa Bryant has more from Paris.
The strategy is still in the bare-bones stage. Many details still need filling in, including financial ones. European Union officials say they will be looking for feedback from African counterparts in the run-up to an EU-Africa summit later this year. But the EU's executive arm has outlined five key focus areas: transitioning to and accessing green energy, the digital transformation, sustainable growth and jobs, peace, security, and governance, and migration and mobility. EU Foreign Policy Chief Josep Borrell says overall the bloc wants to scale up its partnership with Africa and make it more effective.
We have geopolitical interests in Africa. Our growth and security depends on what happens in Africa, maybe more than in any other part of the world.
While the EU is not always seen as a financial heavyweight in Africa, the 27-member bloc together is a source of more than $250 billion in foreign investment on the continent, compared to $48 billion from the United States and $43 billion from China. Borrell says current European support also includes helping African nations cope with the global coronavirus outbreak and more broadly strengthening their health systems. Reuters reports some aid agencies worry European efforts to staunch migration risked undermining the bloc's new partnership strategy. But that was not the message Brussels sent out Monday.
Un des efforts qu'on est en train de faire, c'est d'essayer de ne pas voir l'Afrique seulement.
Borrell said the EU's new strategy aimed not to see Africa simply within the prism of migration. He said while it was necessary to fight against illegal migration, legal migration should turn into a win-win for both sides. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Paris.
The main opposition Malawi Congress Party has condemned the arrest of leaders of the Human Rights Defenders Coalition. The party, through its presidential candidate, Dr. Lazarus Chakwera, issued a 48-hour ultimatum calling for the unconditional release of the activists. Chakwera has promised to join the protesters if the activists are not released. Malawi police on Sunday arrested HRDC Vice President Gift Trapens and Executive Member McDonald Seberenka. Timothy Untambo, the group's leader, is reportedly also wanted by the police for questioning. The HRDC had announced plans to close the official residence of President Arthur Peter Mutharika on March 25th as part of a pressure campaign to force the dismissal of Malawi Electoral Commission Chairperson Jean Ansah. Maurice Mutale is the spokesperson for the opposition Malawi Congress Party.
What we are saying is this is one way of trying to suffocate the freedoms that are enshrined in our constitution. Because what HRDC are doing is very constitutional in nature, and they are only speaking on behalf of those Malawians who cannot speak. And in any case, they are only demanding what all Malawians are already demanding, and that the government is there to facilitate the demands made by HRDC instead of having to arrest them. So we are condemning the arbitrary arrest, but also in the statement, Dr. Lazarus Chakwera is saying that these HRDC leaders who have been arrested must be released within 48 hours from the time we release the statement.
Are you therefore saying the government is committing an illegality because it is violating the constitution by arresting people who are threatening to make the country ungovernable or create confusion or an instability?
No, there's nothing like causing any trouble or causing any instability in this country. No. Demonstrations to any officer, any office, and in any manner and anywhere are constitutional. And this is exactly what we have seen with the DPP marching across the country in all the cities. And they are the ones who went to march to the state house demanding what they were demanding. And they were calling names on the judges of the High Court and the Supreme Court in their placards. And we felt that the silence of the police on the demonstrators of the DPP was just one way of telling the nation that those demonstrators were doing it according to the law. And it is the same Malawians who are now wanting to march to the state house demanding their own rights. And there's nothing wrong with that.
The president, in his speech over the weekend, warned HRDC, UTM, and your party for planning to destabilize the country and to destroy the country's economy and the gains the economy is making just to score political points.
We all know by now that the government is facilitating the downfall of our economy and social order. And why we went to court is because even the 21 May 2019 elections were marred by irregularities. It is those irregularities and the manner the elections were run and the manner in which Peter Mutharika speaks to the public, to Malawians at large, and his ignorance on the matters to do with the constitutional rights and his poor leadership that facilitates the downfall of our economy and the social order of this country. He cannot blame anybody else apart from himself and the DPP in the manner they govern this country.
Maurice Mutale is the spokesperson for the main opposition Malawi Congress Party. He spoke with viewers Peter Clotty from Mzuzu, Malawi. Somalia and Kenya have in recent days traded accusations of violating each other's sovereignty. There's been tension at the border after the Somali government deployed security forces to fight against a regional Somali minister who escaped from detention in Mogadishu and took refuge inside Kenya. Authorities in the northeastern region of Kenya bordering Somalia appealed to their government to remove the security minister of Jubaland, Abdi Rashid Hassan Abdinar, and his militias from Mandera County. Asi Awad is Somalia's foreign minister.
We are hoping that we will be able to overcome the current disagreements, particularly after the two presidents have spoken on the telephone. But to answer your question, Somalia wishes Kenya to respect the territorial integrity of Somalia and to stay away from the internal interference of Somalia. That has been the core of the recent disagreements.
And what kind of progress have you made within the last few days in diffusing this tension?
We've made a great deal of progress. Our president, Mohamed Abdullahi Farmajo, has spoken to President Uhuru Kenyatta of Kenya, and the two presidents agreed to lower the tension, to de-escalate, and to resolve the old disagreement peacefully and cordially. And indeed, President Uhuru followed up with his promise and sent his Minister of Interior, Dr. Fred Matiang'i, with a message to the President, Mohamed Abdullahi Farmajo, and that meeting happened yesterday, and now we are sensing a seriousness and the good intention on the part of Kenya, just like Somalia is always willing to deal with Kenya with good neighborliness, as our president and prime minister have promised it on many occasions. So we feel that the situation is now progressing toward the normal situation that we expected to exist between two brotherly countries like Somalia and Kenya.
Kenya has troops in AMISOM. Does Somalia still want to have Kenya troops in the country, or do you want Kenya troops withdrawn?
We are grateful to the sacrifices that the Kenyan forces as part of AMISOM have made for Somalia and the Somali people. We are grateful to Kenya for the support that Kenya has given Somalia throughout the years. And we intend to have good brotherly relations with Kenya and the Kenyan forces that are part of AMISOM. As far as we are concerned, part of AMISOM, we welcome them.
Ahmed Issad Awad is Somalia's foreign minister. He was speaking with reporter Harun Maruf of VOA Somali Service. You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Barty in Washington today. It's Tuesday, March 10. Daybreak Africa time is coming up at 16 minutes past the hour. Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta and the African Leaders Malaria Association have put forward measures to curb malaria that is still a threat in the Horn of Africa region. Speaking at State House in Nairobi, President Kenyatta, who is also the incoming chairperson of the alliance, said he will work to eliminate malaria in the 2 years that he has left in office. Maureen Ojiambo reports from Nairobi.
The African Leaders Malaria Alliance have embarked on measures to curb the disease in their respective states. According to President Uhuru Kenyatta, most African countries still have malaria as a threat to lives, and that coming together as African Union member states will help the fight against malaria by the year 2030. Kenyatta says most affected countries are from the West and Central Africa.
However, while significant progress has been made, Africa continues to bear the malaria burden. 93% of global cases, that's about 213 million, 94% of the global deaths, about 380,000, are on our continent. Accelerated action is therefore needed, particularly in the 10 high-burden AU member states that account for 67% of global malaria cases and 62% of deaths. These are mainly Nigeria, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Uganda, Cote d'Ivoire, Mozambique, Niger, Burkina Faso, Mali, Angola, and Tanzania.
Kenyatta says the Kenyan government is working on consolidating Kenya's position as a regional healthcare hub. Already, Kenya attracts patients from several countries in the region, including Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, Democratic Republic of Congo, Tanzania, Ethiopia, South Sudan, and Nigeria. Kenyatta added that in his leadership of the alliance, he will prioritize collaboration of states in order to win the fight against malaria through sharing experiences and use of innovation and technology.
I want to work with regional economic communities to engage heads of state and government to address key challenges, but also to provide solutions to them. This will include the use of innovation and technology to introduce sub-regional scorecards for review and action by heads of state and government, to share lessons learnt and best practices, and to use awards for excellence at sub-regional level.
On the other hand, the African Union Commissioner for Social Affairs, Amira El Fadil, said that the continental framework for the African Union will be applied to ensure all the 55 member states defeat malaria.
We are looking forward to working with you to advance advocacy, action, resource mobilizations, and accountability on the continental and the global stages. At the African Union Commission, we have our policies in place, Your Excellency. We have our continental framework, which is the Continental Health Policy for Africa, 2016-2030. We have advocacy campaigns, and the last campaign that we are implementing with Rollback Malaria is the Zero Malaria campaign. It starts with me.
Yesterday, Monday, Kenyatta oversaw the launch of First Kenya's Healthcare Convention in Nairobi. Reporting for VOA's Daybreak Africa, I am Maureen Ojiambo in Nairobi, Kenya.
The mayor of Zambia's capital, Lusaka, is calling on residents to avoid handshakes as part of an effort to prevent the spread of the coronavirus if it enters the country. Miles Sampa says the city has launched a media campaign to educate residents not to engage in the traditional handshake. His remarks came after the mayor was seen Tuesday on social media in a shoulder bump with President Edgar Lungu and the U.S. Chargé d'Affaires to Zambia, David Young. Mayor Sampa tells viewers Peter Clotty he hopes Lusaka residents would adhere to the new way of greeting one another.
As the mayor of Lusaka, the capital city, we have about 2 million people. I'm determined to ensure that we don't get this virus into the city. They say prevention is better than cure. So the majority of my residents are in the township and have no access to Voice of America or BBC, and so they don't have first-hand information on this disease. So it's my duty to educate them, and I've gone flat out, simplified, by actually teaching them the don'ts, concentrating what they should not do to bring in this virus. And I'm urging them to stop shaking hands. It's tradition in the city, whenever you meet somebody you know, sometimes even somebody you don't know, to greet hands, you shake hands as hello.
Miles, you know, this has been the tradition that people shake hands often. Not shaking hands, some people see it as disrespectful and undermining people's culture. How do you plan to change the hearts and minds of people about this disease, to change their ways of doing things?
Yes, it's just awareness, campaigning. I'm sure there's some cultural issues here, but at top leadership, we have to hold the bull by its horn or bite the bullet and appeal to them. There's no choice. Stop greeting using hands. So I've taken it up at my level, and today for the first time, we did shoulder bump with the president of the country, Dr. Edgar Chagualungu, and the pictures have gone out. So they will pick it up. The mayor and the president are saying we don't shake hands. They themselves, at the airport, whenever I meet the president, formally we shake hands. And as of today, we stopped that and we used the shoulder bump.
What kind of media campaign has the Lusaka city launched to educate or sensitize residents about this disease and the preparedness to combat it?
The council has got a financial problem, so it's difficult to sponsor a media, a TV or radio campaign or put out billboards. So I'm doing it through this approach I call do-it-yourself, DIY, where I try to get things done away from the council budget. So I'm going through my Facebook. Luckily, I have about 150,000 likes on my Facebook page. So through there, I'm disseminating this information.
Miles Sampa is the mayor of the Zambian capital, Lusaka. He spoke with viewers Peter Clotty. At least 69 Ugandan students are effectively trapped in Wuhan, China, the epicenter of the coronavirus epidemic. Back in Uganda, parents of the students are pleading with authorities to bring them home. But as Halima Athumani reports from Kampala, Ugandan officials say they have no plans to do so.
Three of Margaret Ntale's four children are studying in Wuhan, China, and have been quarantined there since the coronavirus outbreak began in December.
One of my daughters, the young one, Vivian, fell ill, and it scared me so much. And it was a sore throat to the extent that she could not even talk. I was so scared until the point when they told me she didn't have the virus.
Ntale calls her children every day to ask if they are safe and healthy, free of the virus known as COVID-19.
Do they spray every day, spraying the virus?
I think so, but I'm not sure because I never look outside. But I hear those trucks making noise, so I think they do spray.
But she wishes they were back home in Uganda.
We pleaded with our government to help us evacuate our children, and up to now they refused, and they gave us the reason that they are safer there.
Health Minister Dr. Ruth Acheng confirmed the students will stay in Wuhan for the time being.
I am not aware of the Chinese government requesting us to evacuate. To the contrary, I have a letter from the ambassador reassuring us of how well they are taking care of our Ugandan students.
Acheng also discouraged people from countries where the coronavirus is spreading from coming to Uganda, warning they face a two-week self-imposed quarantine.
People residing in the following seven countries: Italy, Iran, South Korea, France, China, Germany, and Spain should consider postponing non-essential travel to Uganda.
Since the outbreak, Ugandan authorities have identified about 1,300 passengers arriving from affected countries as high risk. These travelers, such as traders from Kampala's business hub, Chikubo, pose a threat to public health, says aviation public health specialist Dr. James Ayul. The best way to prevent the spread of COVID-19, doctors say, is for everyone in affected countries to stay put, limit physical contact, and wait for the virus to stop spreading. But for mothers like Ntale, the waiting is the hardest part. Halima Asmani for VOA News, Kampala.
Senegal's first female surfer, Kadju Sambe, helped Rhonda Harper of Black Girl Surf open up a facility this month that is geared towards empowering more girls to surf in Senegal. Sambe spoke with Ricky Shryak about the challenges she faced joining the sport and how she hopes to shape their future.
I started surfing because I like surfing and I want to surf in, like, representing, like, my people, like, black people, and representing all the world for the black people, and representing, like, Senegalese, African, like, something for the girl.
Do you think, as a woman, was it difficult at first?
Yeah. Before it's difficult, but now it starts changing a lot. Different to before when I started surfing.
How was it difficult?
The difficulty before is, like, because I'm only girl surfing here and my family is scared something happened to me because I'm only girl with the boys all the time and they scared like something happened to me. And
but now you help organize Black Girl Surf with Rhonda Harper and you have 30 young Senegalese girls in the program?
Yeah, we have 30 girls young in the program and maybe I think 30 boys too. And we have their own school here for helping the girl. And I'm so happy because it's my dream to open the school to helping the young girl and the young boy to be going to the contest. And I'm so happy for that. And that is like something my dream coming true.
Do you hope that some of the girls will be able to make it to the Junior Olympics, which are in Dakar in 2022?
Yeah, I think some of them gonna be like making inshallah to be like participate to the contest to 2022.
How does surfing help the girls outside of the sport? Can you talk a little bit about why you think it's important to enable them if they want to surf?
They're helping them to understand more because before they're so close to their town and they don't get out and now they start to moving somewhere. They start to go and surfing somewhere. They have meet the new people and understand a lot because if you go outside, you're going to be see so much different to the people, so much different to the attitude of the people. You can see different people and that way you can understand a lot in your life and learn a lot in your life. And surfing is like something like incredible and something like if you go in the water, you're going to see because you're going to feel it in your heart. And your head and your side and all your body, you're going to be feeling like something extraordinary, something like you think you're going to live in the sea.
You think you're going to live in the sea.
Yeah.
Does it feel more free?
Yeah, you feel more free and you forget all your problems when you are in the water. You think you are in another world. Yeah.
Kadju Sambe works with Black Girls Surf in Senegal. She was speaking to Ricky Stryak from Dakar. Before we leave your summary of Africa news, the main opposition Malawi Congress Party has condemned the arrest of leaders of the Human Rights Defenders Coalition. The party, through its presidential candidate, Dr. Lazaro Chakwera, issued a 48-hour ultimatum. And that's it for this Tuesday, March 10th edition of Daybreak Africa. I'm James Bote in Washington.
A wonderful ride with a ray of sunshine and a pinch of love awaits. We are coming to take you on a magical journey where things are much more alive and happening. Join us on March 13th to hear the greatest Dizzy hits ever. So don't forget to tune in only on Water Crossings, The Voice of America.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.